Gentlemen, start your engine.
Live from our studios in Spartanburg, South Carolina, Fox Sports Spartanburg presents Start Your Engines. Always in the memory of our show founder, Greg Moore, here is your race team for today. Technical assistant, Lanny McKinney. Show producer, Ronnie Black. Author and National Motorsports Press Association Hall of Fame journalist, Deb Williams. Former NASCAR Cup crew chief, Mike Hill. Co-host, Joe Delaney. And with our special guests, here is your host for Start Your Engines. Racing historian and author, Perry Allen Wood.
And good morning and welcome to Start Your Engines on a cool and cloudy Sunday morning. And I tell you what, after two or three weeks, I think we had 40 consecutive days over at least 90 degrees. And boy, this feels like football season. So welcome to Start Your Engines. And Ronnie's taking the day off today, and so, oddly enough, it's not odd, but our guest, our Legends guest at 11 o'clock is the co-host today, Bill Rossi. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm glad you came in, or my voice wouldn't last probably till the end of the show, but it's great having you here, and I haven't seen you in a while. What you been up to? See, the thing about having Bill on now, his legend spot is going to go for 2 hours off and on, so we can just sort of freewheel it and talk about whatever we want to. What you been up to?
Just mostly, you know, busy working like everybody else in the world, I guess. That's what you got to do to pay the bills and keep your head above water.
Yeah. Well, if you don't know, and you probably do, I put it out there on the Facebook when I promoted the show this week, but Bill's father, Mario Rossi, was a great crew chief and mechanic and car owner, and he had some of the I always thought your father's cars were gorgeous. I think the prettiest race cars I ever saw, and I'm not just saying this because you're here, because I say this all the time, but you know, we just lost Rex White. Mm-hmm. I thought Rex White's cars were beautiful, the gold and white and with the red numbers, but I tell you what, I remember the first time I saw your dad's, that Plymouth for Darrell Derringer with the blue sides and the gold hood and top and deck lid. I thought that was the prettiest car I'd ever seen until he painted the sides red when he had Bobby Allison and good grief, and Dick Brooks and those cars. That car, that paint scheme, and Rex White's, and they both involve gold, but I would like the prettiest race cars I've ever seen.
Yeah, you know, most of the time, you know, people don't put a lot of effort, I think, into making the cars look good just because you're going to tear it up. But nowadays, I mean, you know, everything you see out there looks like, you know, it's brand new.
That's a wrap.
Week after week. Yeah, I know. But still, you know, I guess they still want to make it look the best it can when it gets there, no matter how, you know, tore up it's going to be at the end of the day, maybe. But, you know, back in the day, less than a week's turnaround, you know, painting cars versus wrapping cars. It made it a little harder, probably, to make them shine like they did.
I tell you what, though, that's just, I mean, there's been so many changes. I won't even attempt to go over all of them. And we talk about this every week. I don't know how often, if ever, you listen to the show, but we're as much a history show as we are anything else. Right. I mean, I got all these trees I killed last night to print this stuff out about the latest results and what's going on and everything, but I just love the history, and our guests that we have on, like you and Johnny Rutherford and Phil Combs, you know, we just have a lot of people that come on here. We had Rex every year until I don't think he was on last year, but just to reminisce and talk about the good old days and how racing used to be, which I got a lot of thoughts on that, but it's...
Take up another 2 hours.
The thing about it is, a lot of people bellyache about racing, about how it's not like it used to be. Well, you know, that's a two-way street as far as I'm concerned, because you used to have Richard Petty leading every race by two or three laps.
Right.
Now, nobody, you right. never find a leader in the lap by himself.
Nope, down to the last second. Yeah.
But then you had to wait for Richard to blow up, mm-hmm. and cars don't blow up anymore. Normally, I mean, sometimes they do, right. but I mean, the cars themselves mechanically are just about bulletproof.
Yeah, they last typically the whole race, I mean, unless they're wrecked.
Yeah.
It seems like.
So, I mean, you know, it's to the other. Do you like it today when it's close, but the cars are kind of all the same? They're not really all the same, but then again, they didn't come pretty off close. Anybody's showroom.
Right.
And but on the other hand, the old days when they did come off the showroom, they didn't last, and you'd get the Petties or the Wood Brothers or somebody win the race every week by two or three laps. So, you know, you like the good old days better? Well, then that's what it was. And it was good. It right. was great. You know, did you watch the Xfinity race yesterday?
I just heard some of it. I didn't see it, though.
They had Daniel Day blew a tire. And you could actually, but this was in the in-car camera, but you could hear the tire blow.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, back in the old days when I was sitting in the infield with all my drunk friends, you could hear a tire blow all the way across
the track.
Yeah. I mean, it literally sounded like a shotgun going off. And then the next sound was the car hitting the rail, or the wall.
Yeah.
Or an engine blowing was about the same thing, mm-hmm. but, you know, that doesn't happen anymore.
Rarely.
But here's one, but it did yesterday. I mean, it wasn't a big loud boom like it used to be, but you could hear it pop, and it took him straight into the wall. And another thing is the cars, back then, you could pretty much show up with whatever you wanted to.
Right.
Which was, you know, I remember, you probably remember a lot of this stuff, but I'm sure you do. But, you know, if you wanted to, I remember one time Cale Yarborough, when he had his own team, and this was, you know, I say fairly recently, 30 years ago, he brought a Lincoln, you know, it passed inspection and all this stuff, but it didn't run very well, and they said, don't ever bring this car back again.
It had, been in the late 70s or something?
No, it was actually when he had his own team, and I think he was sponsored, it was either by, it was either Bojangles or RCA, because he won Daytona, the summer race with RCA with John Andretti 1 year, but it was just something, you know, it's just something he tried, and it didn't work. But the point is, you didn't have to, you know, now they talk about getting different manufacturers in there and things like that. Well, I mean, you just, if you wanted to build a Plymouth, they don't even make Plymouth anymore, dude. If you wanted to make something, you could just bring it. I guess American made. I don't believe they'd go for bringing in a Toyota.
Not back then.
You know, it was different, and a lot of people say it was better. I don't necessarily say it was better. It was just different. Yeah. But it was good, but it was different.
For the time, and I think a lot of things are like that. You know, change takes place, and old people like us sometimes don't, you know, see the change as good.
Yeah.
You know, that it's not, you know, it's not what we wanted to see. It's not what we're used to kind of thing. So you kind of can't get along with it, you know, as it is today.
Yeah.
But, you know, either way, both sides of the fence are good. Fans go.
Same thing. See, I am a huge Indianapolis fan, especially the 500 race, the 500-mile race on Memorial Day. But the, you know, all those cars now are Dallara's.
Right.
And it's either a Honda or a Chevrolet engine. You wouldn't see somebody with an imagination like Smokey Unick, you know, come up there with a sidecar.
Right, right.
Or in 59, he had the car that the engine turned opposite direction, like a motorboat. And, you know, so I guess it makes it easier to police the thing.
Probably, yeah.
You know, if all the cars are supposed to be the same and this one's a little bit off, then it's kind of illegal.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you couldn't go shop to shop back in the day and catch people before they got to the track, typically, you know.
And that's another thing. That's a good point right there that I don't know if you kind of accidentally made it, maybe, but you used to – see, my father was a city policeman. And we used to go, when I was a little boy, let's pick a year like 1960, 61, when I was like 8 or 9 years old. And Daddy knew all the racing teams, you know, and we would go shop to shop. That's what reminded me of it. We go, because I guess Bud Moore was his favorite, and your daddy was would have been there working
Bud's in the, back in those days. Yeah.
But we'd go visit with Bud, and we'd go over and see Cotton for a little while, and you just walk in.
Yeah.
I mean, you just don't walk into Hendrick Motorsports.
You're lucky to get on the grounds, I guess, to the receptions, about as far as you go.
Speaking of Hendrick Motorsports, I guess that's the last time I saw you when they had that event up there several months ago. Mm-hmm. And our guest, by the way, and our co-host is Bill Rossi this morning. You were walking around with if I'm not mistaken, it was a Hallman Moody pit shirt.
Yeah, well, it was a jacket, actually.
Oh, okay.
It belonged to, I was thinking about this on my way here, but now I can't think of the guy's name. They worked for Hallman Moody in the 60s, and I was looking for something to acquire my father's. Mm-hmm. Two jackets that a gentleman in Florida had. So anyway, this fella had this jacket, and I was able to make a deal with him so I could, you know, get my father's jacket, and I had just picked it up on my way to that event. So,
well, do you okay? So you sort of answered my next question. You do you collect a lot of memorabilia, or were you just trying to obtain something that your dad had?
I do have stuff. I mean, and most of the stuff I have is local, you know, James Hilton stuff, Cotton Owens stuff.
You got a lot of James Hilton stuff, didn't you?
Well, most of James' stuff over the years, you know, they were going to just throw a lot of that stuff away. So I just, you know, I picked up personal stuff, car parts, like both sides of his cars from the 70s and hoods and trunks and fender bumpers.
But you did this all along, or not just since he passed away?
No, over time. I mean, he had no barn, you know, out there past his shop. And when I was looking for parts to do my real car with, he'd tell me just, you know, go out there and look around, and if you find anything from, you know, because he drove a wing car, you know, in 70. So at the end of the day, I'd go rummage through that barn for hours and pick up things and take them back to him and say, all right, James, can I have this? And some stuff he would take back, like old stock car products, spindles and things. I mean, stuff that was 30 years old, you know. I might need this. He said he'd take it out of my hand, put it on the shelf, you know. So over that time, there was those parts and pieces out there, and I'd ask him what he was going to do, and they just, you know, they were just going in the garbage probably eventually. So he, you know, he just tell me I could take what I wanted. So I just pick up things here and there and, you know, carry them to the house, you know. So over time, you know, I got all that, and then, you know, when he passed, I tried to go in there and save, like, as much personal stuff. You know, I didn't get a lot of parts.
I love James Hilton. Mm-hmm. You know, I say this every once in a while. It wouldn't hurt my feelings one bit if he got into the Hall of Fame.
I agree.
But, you know, like, his first, look it up, his first 8 or 9 seasons as a driver, I think the first 4 he was in the point standings, he was second, third, second. Exactly. But I mean, like, for the first 8 years, he was right there. Yep. And if he wouldn't get pissed off and at NASCAR over not getting enough money or something, because he'd sit, I know in 1966 when he started, I think he sat out 2 or 3 races just because he was mad at NASCAR. At And he finished second to Richard Petty in the point standings, I mean.
Yeah, and he finished second in 70 in points with, or third, rather, in 70.
Yeah.
I think it was Isaac, Dad, and then Hilton.
Well, so, I think he's great.
Yeah, super nice guy.
Oh, man. He did one thing, and we're going to take a break in just a second and call Deb Williams. Two people in my whole life gave me, as far as I'm concerned, the ultimate compliment. And that, and I just stopped in to see James one day, and he and his son, Tweety, were taking the car off the trailer. Mm-hmm. He had an enclosed trailer, and he said, would you, anyway, the point is, when I first walked up, he said, there's that old racer, and for somebody like James Hilton to call me a racer, I'm a fan, you know, I like racing, but I'm not a racer. You save that for a racer, like you or somebody, but... And Rex White did it too one time, and that's just, to me, that's nice. the ultimate compliment. Yeah.
Did he put you to work when you showed
up? Yeah,
that's
what I was getting ready to say. I had to squeeze, because neither one of them could get up to the front of the trailer, and I had to go squeeze in between the side of the trailer and the car and get on the front and push. So, it was mostly downhill.
Oh, yeah. I spent plenty of time working at James' shop on stops and visits accidentally.
God, what a great guy. All right, let's take our first break and come back and talk to Deb Williams and see. There was actually a lot of news this week, so we got a lot to cover with Deb. You're listening to Start Your Engines on Fox Sports Spartanburg.
Start Your Engines will be back after this quick pit stop on Fox Sports 1498.3 FM. South Carolina lawmakers are being pressured to change our liquor liability laws, not to protect people, but to boost insurance company profits. Right now, these companies charge high premiums, but pay out when victims need justice. If they get their way, they'll keep collecting while bars that overserve and put drunk drivers on the road walk away with no accountability. Tell your legislators, don't let insurance companies dodge responsibility while victims pay the price. Justice shouldn't take a back seat to corporate profits. Paid for by Carolina Law Group.
You already know Palmetto Spirits is the place to go for wine, fine bourbons, and home bar essentials. But Palmetto Spirits is also the perfect place to pick up your favorite local craft brews like RJ Rockers, crowd-pleasing Budweiser brands, and world-famous imports like Stella Artois, Modelo, and Corona. Whether you're in search of the ideal wine pairing or the ideal gift, Jim and the staff at Palmetto Spirits will get it in your hands. Palmetto Spirits, located at the corner of Reedville and Anderson Mill Roads.
If it matters to Spartanburg,
listen to me.
We love
this. Is what matters.
Hear it here on Fox Sports Spartanburg. Spartanburg Viking football, local high school basketball, the USC Upstate Spartans, the Hub City Spartanburgers.
It's the Upstate's best sports lineup, flanked by the Spartanburg games you need to hear.
Hear all the games you need right here and streaming on the Fox Sports Spartanburg app.
Don't forget the website.
And at SpartanburgSportsRadio.com.
Make Phillips & Long Fuel Chesney your source for propane in Spartanburg County. They offer propane for hot water heaters, cooking, and heat. They can fill your grill tank and get you ready for grilling season. Not only do they sell propane, but they sell a large variety of propane accessories such as grill tanks and other appliances that run on propane. If your propane tank is running low, call and they'll have it filled within one business day. Call them at 864-461-8511. That's Phillips & Long Fuel, located at 421 South Alabama Avenue in Chesney.
Image Printing is the only shop in the Upstate that prints signage, decals, banners, t-shirts, wide format printing, full color paper printing, and offers graphic design services all in-house. And now Image Printing is offering custom t-shirts with no minimum quantity. That's right, Image Printing now offers direct to garment printing, which means you can get your design printed on a t-shirt, whether you want one or 1,000. Visit Image Printing at 845 California Ave, across the street from the Spartanburg County Detention Center. Call 864-583-8848.
Williams is trackside and ready to go. What's going on at this week's big race? Now let's go live to Deb.
Good morning, Deb. How are you?
Oh, good morning. Just fine, thank you. I hope you are as well.
Well, I am, because it's about 40 degrees cooler than it's been lately. I think it's actually 68 degrees this morning.
I know, and I love it. I'm very, very happy to have this cooler weather.
Deb, we got a guest this morning. In fact, he's supposed to be our Legends guest, but he got a promotion earlier today as the co-host. So say hi to Bill Rossi.
Hey, Bill. Hey. It's nice to talk to you again. I think the last time I saw you was at Stocks for Tots.
Yeah, that's what we were just talking about. Yeah, good to hear your voice.
Yeah.
Well, Deb, it was a big week for news as far as I'm concerned. I know a lot happened, and of course, I read Auto Week, and I saw some of the stuff that you wrote about, but I don't know. You could just about flip a coin between a couple of these and see which is the most important, but I'll start out with Austin Hill, who we talked about a little bit on the show last week, how it looked like he took out Eric Almirola. And I think NASCAR pretty much agreed when it happened, but boy, they dropped a hammer on him, and he's not even he didn't even race yesterday.
That's correct. And with the way they've rewritten that rule this year for in the NASCAR rule book, not only did he get suspended, but by missing the race, he has now lost all of his playoff points that he had up until the Indianapolis race, which I believe was 21 points, that he had gotten from three victories. And now he's not allowed to gain any more playoff points up until the playoffs start. So that means he'll be starting last in the playoff standings once they do the reseed. So, yeah, he's got a long way to go. He doesn't have anything to carry him through the first round. He's got to make up some playoff points in the playoffs if he wants to have anything to help him carry him through the playoffs.
Yeah, and once again, this is neither here nor there. I never really cared much for him, but I think one of the things that really aggravated the situation was his language and tone. I guess it was when he was sitting there for five laps on the pit road. I don't know when all the radio traffic went out, but boy, he really was blasted. Yeah, he was blasted NASCAR, dropping F-bombs left and right, and I don't think they appreciated that very much.
Well, no, it's not the first time it's happened. It's happened before. I remember years ago when Kyle Petty was driving for Felix Sabatis, and they were holding Kyle on pit road at Charlotte, and Felix got on one of his rants, and Robin Pemberton was the crew chief, and Robin figured out what was going on because they kept getting held, and he had a crew person reach over and unplug Felix's headset from the radio. But, you know, Bill France Jr. was sitting up there in the NASCAR tower, and he was hearing everything that was going on, and every time Felix would continue, Bill Jr. would say, "Hold him for another lap." So
I went through the same thing in my last marriage, getting cussed out in a foreign language. I knew it didn't sound happy, and my name kept coming
up. No, it's not.
My name kept popping up, so I knew it was something about me. But
well, yeah.
So anyway, yeah, that was...
It wasn't the first time it's happened. It probably won't be the last.
Now, when you say that, though, I mean, I think you're talking in general, but
Yeah, I am.
But it seemed like they were... I heard some references to something specifically with Austin Hill that had happened maybe last year or something, or am I reading that wrong?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay, then it was in general. So,
but, I don't think... Well, back when we started having radio transmissions, even back in the 1990s with two-way radio transmissions, I don't think a lot of people realized then that NASCAR was monitoring everyone, and they monitored our frequency at Scene. When I was editor of Winston Cup Scene, mm-hmm. they monitored us during a race, and I found that out because one time at Charlotte, we were in I don't remember if we were a caution period or rain delay, and one of the photographers had asked me how James Luter, who was a longtime machinist in the sport, he was working for Robert Yates Racing, how he was doing, because Luter was having some issues, health issues, and I told the photographer, I said, "I'll tell you when we get off the radio," and the next thing I know, one of the NASCAR officials is standing behind me in the press box. And he says, "You know, so when Bill French Jr. and Mike Helton, all I'm in the tower, want to know how Luter's doing, go ahead and tell me." So that's when I found out that they were monitoring our radio frequency. So, you know, I think people forget. And there was actually at one point that Junior Johnson had put a scrambler on their frequency, which is what a lot of law enforcement agencies do. And NASCAR cut that out. They wouldn't allow them to put that scrambler on their frequency. So, and then when the TV package started in 2001, that was what opened up the radio communications to where the fans could hear them. Prior to 2001 and that TV package, only people with radios and scanners, I don't even remember if I had a scanner then. Yeah, I did. And could listen to them. But then when the TV package came along in 2001, that was what opened up all the radio transmissions to all the race fans.
Sticking with last week for just a minute, moving to the Cup race. I mean, I was thrilled. I am not an avid Bubba Wallace fan, but I think he adds a lot to the sport in several different ways. And I was glad to see him win, and that was a good win. I mean, he outran Kyle Larson and Denny Hamlin, and he deserved it. I thought that was a great win.
He did. It was a really good race, and you know, Bubba has always been so open with the media, particularly about his mental health issues, and it was interesting in the press tower how he kept talking about, you know, he had the thoughts that were going through his mind during the rain delay, and he knew he had to shove those aside and just get down to business when the green flag dropped. So he's we all enjoy him, we like him, and I'll tell you, when he comes in for media availability, the way the people swarm, the way the media swarms to him, it's like flies on honey, so to speak. But, yeah, he's and a lot of people, I don't think, either they don't know or have forgotten that Bubba is biracial. Bubba's mother is black, but his father is white. And he was born in Mobile, Alabama. So I think that's something that probably a lot of people forget. And but yeah, Bubba's got a great personality, and he's open and honest, and you know, he's a favorite of the media. I'll put it this way: the media that covers the sport on a regular basis.
I was going to bring this up later, not during your segment, but I will mention it right now, that I knew that there would be an unleashing of ignorant racist people that would have something to say about it. So I just briefly, within an hour of the finish of the race, went on Facebook or just to see what people were saying. And I mean, it's disgusting what the brave people hiding behind the fact that, you know, they can say what they want to without any repercussions at all, because they can be on Facebook or you know, social media. It was just horrible, and I'm not going to dwell on that anymore, but it was terrible. I like Bubba, and I think he's great for the sport, and I hope he doesn't have to worry about being on the bubble anymore. He made the playoffs.
That's right. And you know, his crew chief this year I liked Booty Barker. I've known Booty ever since he was a crew member with Bill Davis Racing, but the crew chief that Bubba has this year has a very interesting background, and I think that's been very good. He is actually from the military. He spent 9 years in the Army. He went into the Army when he came out of college, and he is one of those that, you know, when you get into a high-pressure situation because of his military training, he doesn't panic. He's calm, and he's involved in a lot of the preparation at the shop during the week as well. So I think it's a really good match there, and I think that military training of Bubba's crew chief, his last name's pronounced Dinky, has benefited not just Bubba but that entire team. And to what you were talking about, what you're seeing is what I used to see in letters to the editor when I was the editor of Scene. And, you know, the difference before the internet was you had editors who edited the libel, the slander, the racist, the everything. And because people would send stuff in and not sign their name or not sign their addresses, and it immediately went into the trash can, or file 13, as we called it.
Yeah.
And they, you know, so it all got edited out before the internet, but it's been that type of stuff that's been coming in. And, you know, people were editing the letters that had training in slander law and libel law, and the people didn't understand that. And now you just have it where people think they can say anything and everything, and it has no repercussions, whereas before the internet, it was edited, and so that makes a big difference as well. People, let's put it this way, the general public is now seeing what those of us who edited letters to the editor saw many years ago.
Yeah. I got a couple of things I want to hit here before we have to let you go, so I'm going to give you a little bit of extra time. We didn't mention this last week. I didn't mention a lot of things last week, it turns out, that I should have. But Stuart Friesen had a terrible crash. I think it was July 28th. It was a Monday dirt modified race up in Canada or something. And
right.
I mean, the video of that crash is, I mean, it was awful, horrible. And he's bouncing along the top of the wall, and the car catches on fire, and then he gets hit at least once, it looked like to me, when he landed on the track. So put your comments on Stuart Friesen. I know he's he is a Canadian. He's he won his first truck race in I think a couple of years earlier this year, and man, he got beat up bad.
Yeah, he did. He won his. He was already qualified for the playoffs with his victory at Michigan earlier this year, actually in June, and he was racing his dirt modified this past week. Believe you are correct on it being Monday night.
It was
in Ontario, Canada, and they've got him back into the United States at a trauma unit in New York, and he's undergone surgery. He had a couple of fractures in his pelvic bone and a compound fracture in a leg, but fortunately, when they ran the CT scans and everything on him, he had no spinal injuries, no brain injuries. But yeah, that's a terrifying, horrific crash. And I've watched it several times, and if I'm looking at it correctly, I think probably when his pelvic got broken a couple of places is when he comes back on the track. That other car that slams into him, it appears from the video that it slams into the bottom of the car.
Mm.
And I think that's escaped any head injuries, was it didn't in the driver's compartment. But, you know, one thing you always want to look at when a horrible crash like that is finally ends is the integrity of the driver's compartment. And when you look at his driver's compartment, all of his roll cages, the integrity was maintained. It was intact and all. And when you see a driver's compartment maintain its integrity with the roll cage and everything, that always bodes well for the driver. They may come out with some broken bones, but for anything worse than that. And that was one thing that his wife, Jessica, who is also a race car driver, mentioned, was that she thanked in one of her many social posts, and she's been great at keeping everybody updated on the Stuart Friesen X feed, is she thanked the car builders and the rules and all for what they have created for a safe environment, as safe as you can be. You know, I think people forget racing's going to be dangerous. You can only make it so safe, but
yeah,
it's going to be dangerous.
And when you talk about that, what comes to my mind is in Alex Beam's museum up in Mooresville, they have what's left of the cockpit of Jeff Bodine's truck from that horrible crash at Daytona many years ago now, because I was living in Miami when that happened, and I've been in Spartanburg for 17 years. So, yeah, it was it's a survival area, no doubt about it. Let me do one more thing, and we still got to do our picks. But your buddy Roger Penske sold one-third of, I don't know if it's everything, or I mean, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and I guess of IndyCar to Fox, who carries IndyCar racing now. And, I mean, that was a pretty big step, I thought.
That caught everyone off guard. That surprised everyone. And Penske Entertainment is what Fox Sports bought a third of. And Penske Entertainment owns Indianapolis Motor Speedway and the IndyCar series.
I didn't even know there was any such thing as Penske Entertainment until maybe two or three weeks ago.
Yes, that was created, or that company was created, when Roger bought Indianapolis Motor Speedway and the IndyCar series. And, you know, this is starting to be, I thought it was interesting, I was listening to a commentary from the person at the Sports Business Journal earlier this week, And he noted that with the TV landscape changing, whereas people are cutting the cable and cord, and so to speak, and going more towards streaming, this is where the media companies are buying a portion of the sports they televise. And maybe a lot of people have lost sight that Liberty Media Corporation actually owns Formula One.
And I didn't know that.
Liberty Media owns Formula One. And he brought out something else that was interesting I didn't know. He said that ESPN is looking at buying into the NFL. So, you know, these media companies got their income. They were paying these high rights fees, but they were getting their income to be able to do that from cable. And with people cutting cable and going to streaming, then they've got to change their revenue field and the way they get it. So, that one caught everybody off guard. I thought it was interesting that none of the Penske executives came into the, and by that I mean Roger Penske and Bud Danker and Walt Zarnicki, they didn't come into the press tower at Indy last weekend, and that's very, very unusual. And I looked at someone and I said, is there an IndyCar race this weekend? And they said yes, and I thought, oh, okay, well, that's where they all are. But then when that announcement came out that Fox had bought one-third of Penske Entertainment, and I thought, oh, okay, well, that kind of explains everything then. You know, it's always hindsight's 20/20.
Yeah.
But, I think Murdoch, who owns Fox and now a third of Penske and IndyCar, I don't think a lot of people may realize that Murdoch actually owns the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah, well, I got wind of that when a lot of things going on with Trump, because I think he's even suing Murdoch for some things that he said at Wall Street Journal. We got to move on, Deb, and I tell you, this is one week we could probably use you to be a co-host as well, but let's do our picks for the race. I won last week, so Mike's leading with 28 points. I've got 23. Ronnie's got 21. Joe's got 20. Deb, you've got 19, and I'm sorry I left you off. I don't know how that happened. And when I sent out the standings last night, and Lanny's got...
Accidentally on purpose.
No, I love you, Deb. I would never leave you out. And Lanny's got 17. So, Lanny, I'm pretty sure I know who you want, but you can text it to me. Deb, you go ahead. And it's a tight back. I mean, we're all within 11 points of each other.
Mm-hmm. Kyle Larson.
Well, that just ruined my plans. Ronnie has already told me this morning when I talked to him that he's going to pick Keselowski. I guess maybe he has the same feeling that I had last week. So, this makes me have to think for a second. I guess I could wait and dwell on it for a minute or two. Lanny wants Blaney. That's who I knew he would pick.
Well, Keselowski and Chase Elliott both had good qualifying runs yesterday.
So I'll go back to Chase. I'll give him a chance. You stole the guy that I was going to steal from Mike. So we'll wait and hear from Mike and see who he wants. And Bill, who do you think is going to win, although you're not officially in this?
I have no idea. All right. I didn't see the qualifying or anything.
Qualifying doesn't matter.
Well, that's true at this point, yeah.
Well, Deb, that's... Only thing I didn't touch on that I wanted to, and I'll give you 1 minute on it if you want to talk about it, is Ty Gibbs winning the in-season challenge or whatever.
Challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was kind of expected. He was the favorite going in, but I thought it was really good in the fact that not only are they making a donation to Toys for Tots, but they're giving the same amount of money to Ty Dillon for him to be able to make a donation to the charity of his choice. So I thought that was really good.
He did. And, he said he was giving $10,000 to somebody. Or maybe it was...
Which Ty?
I think he
Ty
was...
Ty Dillon. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say Ty... It was two Ties. So
right.
Ty... Gibbs won the thing. I think he was going to give $10,000 to the charity of the other Ty Dillon's choice.
No, Ty Gibbs is giving $10,000 to stocks for to Toys for Tots, the Marine Corps Toys for Tots.
Okay,
is who Ty Gibbs is giving $10,000 to, and then Ty Gibbs is giving $10,000 to Ty Dillon, so Ty Dillon can donate $10,000 to the charity of his choice.
Okay,
so there's $20,000 going to two different charities,
or
$10,000 each, $20,000 total.
All right.
But I have finally found one thing that will get the media to stop doing what they're doing.
Well, go
When Eric Jones came into the press tower on Saturday, he was promoting the animal welfare side of his foundation. And there was a trainer there from a nearby place near Indianapolis, I think Westfield, Indiana, that brought in the most adorable puppies into the press tower.
Yeah, you sent me a picture of you cuddling up with them.
And all the media dropped what they were doing and started playing with the puppies. So we have decided that we need to get a therapy dog for all the media centers.
There you go.
Okay, that sounds good. Well, Deb, we appreciate you coming on, and you're always a wealth of information. We love having you, and you have a good week, and we'll enjoy this weather. It's almost like football season, it feels like, out there a little bit.
Oh, I know. I love it. That's why I put off mowing my yard till tomorrow morning.
Okay. All right, Deb. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you. Sounds bye-bye. Good. Have a good week.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's Deb Williams. You know who she is?
Mm-hmm.
Who?
Sports writer.
We've got a running thing here. We've been doing this for years.
Mm-hmm.
Every week I say, Ronnie, who was that woman? And he says, she's the smartest woman I know. And I did it when I had Candy Moore, Bud's granddaughter, in here. She said, yeah, I know who she is. And my girlfriend was in here a couple of weeks ago, and I asked her, and she didn't say anything. So anyway, that's the smartest woman I know.
I'm sure she is.
All right, let's take a break. We're going to come back touch on us a few results until the top of the hour, when we'll have our Legends guest, Bill Rossi, who's already here. So you're listening to Start Your Engines on Fox Sports Spartanburg.
Jerry Seinfeld is back.
We stream everything now. We don't watch anything. We stream it. Wandering around your workplace trying to recruit new viewers into whatever stupid show you like. Jerry, you gotta watch this show.
Okay.
I'll check it out. Okay, but the first four seasons are not good.
Jerry Seinfeld, live in Spartanburg with a new show. Friday, September 19th, Spartanburg Memorial Auditorium. Reserve seats on sale Friday at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com.
Tired of the same old lunch places with the same old food? Instead of going to the same old lunch spot, try something new. Visit Grill 221 in Roebuck. Grill 221's menu has something that is sure to satisfy whatever you're craving. Try one of their famous juicy cheeseburgers or the famous Cheeseburger Club. How about a fried bologna sandwich or some of their tasty pimento cheese? In the mood for something a little lighter? Try one of their great salads. Already had lunch? Stop by Grill 221 for supper tonight. They have a great hamburger steak or open-faced roast beef. Try any of these choices with some fresh-cut fries or tater tots. Grill 221, 4795 South Church Street Extension in Roebuck.
When your car needs to come down pit road, go where all the racing fans go. Bolton James Tire and Alignment. For three generations, Bolton James has been serving Spartanburg County by specializing in tires, alignments, brakes, and engine-related services. Located at 1491 Union Street, Bolton James has been family-owned and operated for 47 years. So when your car needs work, go where the racing fans go. Bolton James Tire and Alignment.
Hey, this is Ryan Delaney. For years, when my truck needs work or new tires, I always take it to Bolton James Tire and Alignment on Union Street.
If you're a sports fan, you probably have some jerseys and signed stuff laying around. We did too. You got to do what we did and get your valuables framed up nice at the Art Lounge, where Brandy has over 20 years experience in framing sports memorabilia, jerseys, and even newspapers, diplomas, and so much more. The Art Lounge is the National Small Business of the Year, so be sure to check out their local art, pottery, and jewelry too at the Art Lounge, Spartburg's go-to store for Berg apparel as well. The Art Lounge, 1410 Skyland Drive in Spartanburg.
Ready to turn your backyard from a problem into an experience?
You say something about my lawn, Dotrieve?
It's time to make your backyard the go-to spot for your entire family. How about adding an in-ground pool in as little as 30 days? Call Little John Landscaping Pools. Ready to add sod, patios, fire pits, retaining walls? Call Little John Landscaping Pools. Never again be embarrassed to have your family and friends over to grill out, hang out, or veg out. Be proud of your backyard by calling Little John Landscaping Pools. 864-303-1368. That's 864-303-1368. 1368.
Elite Audio, the premier audio installation shop in the Southeast. You know they've got speakers for your car, but Elite Audio on Asheville Highway has so much more. Stereos, styling, custom wheels, performance tires, safety systems, remote start, keyless entry, backup camera, upholstery services, custom leather, heated seats, accent lighting, and now window tinting. Goodness, Elite Audio has everything you want for your interior of your car or truck. So stop by at 1504 Asheville Highway in Spartanburg.
Who doesn't love being number one? When your team's dominating the standings, or your favorite band rocks the charts at number one, it feels good, right? Kind of like how it feels when you have auto insurance with State Farm. Because making you feel like number one is an honor your local State Farm agent takes seriously. Through the good times and not so good, your State Farm agent's proud to be here to help life go right.
Call local State Farm agent Cliff Gobert at 597-1200.
Visit our website at SpartanburgSportsRadio.com. Fox Sports Spartanburg, 98.3 FM, WSPG Spartanburg.
Kick off the excitement at the all-new Escudé Nissan of Greer. Now open at 14125 East Wade Hampton Boulevard. Score big savings on six new models under 30 grand. All backed by a lifetime powertrain warranty. Yes, lifetime. Plus, take advantage of weekly service specials like our synthetic blend oil change for just $28.88. Just mention you heard it here on Fox Sports. We're also hiring on-site, so stop by or shop online at EscudéNissan.com.
864-920-7636 for more details.
Spartanburg has been known as the hub city for decades due to our proximity to rail lines and interstate highways. Upstate Logistics has been part of the hub city transportation scene for over a decade. Upstate Logistics provides businesses with warehousing and transportation services, including inbound and outbound rail shipments. And more importantly, we support Spartanburg. Be it high school and college sports or important community projects, Upstate Logistics wants to help move Spartanburg forward. Upstate Logistics, keeping your business and Spartanburg moving forward. To find out more, visit upstatelogistics.com.
Spartan Waste is putting trash in its place in Spartanburg County. Spartan Waste is your locally owned trash collection company, keeping your community clean. Do your part by visiting Spartan-Waste.com to make sure your trash is picked up on time every time. And when we say Spartan Waste is locally owned, we mean the owners, Mark Nelson and Mark Mullen, are on the job every day, keeping the Spartanburg community, where they work and live, clean for their families and yours. Keep it clean with Spartan Waste.
Something delicious to match my mood can be a challenge, but McDonald's kills it every single time. Like when I need something with a little oomph, that's when I reach for a classic and melty McDouble. When I want something with a little that's when I go for a crispy and juicy McChicken. And with Mix and Match, I can get two faves for just $3.49, like a McDouble with a McChicken or small fries. And now, my mood calls for a little oomph and Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Welcome back to Start Your Engines, where we're going to just do a few results here up until the top of the hour when we talk to our Legends guest, who we've been talking to all morning anyway, Bill Rossi. So let's talk about what happened yesterday. They did run an Xfinity race, and they were in Iowa. And another tough day for Jeremy. He qualified 27th. I think once or twice there he might have crept up on the top 20, but he never got past. I think one time he might have been 19th when other people were pitting, and he lost a lap at one point, but got it back through the wave around or whatever. But Jeremy ended up finishing 22nd, and four or five, I have to check it, races left until the playoffs, and Jeremy's just going to have to win a race to make the playoffs. Definitely. He is no way he can make up the points, and I'll do the points in just a second. But it was the Hy-Vee Perks 250, and it was at the concrete 7/8 of a mile track in Iowa that, you know, I got to thinking about it. There's not that many race tracks that, and I think Rusty Wallace had a lot to do with designing it. They were thanking him yesterday. But it was, there's not that many racetracks that hold a stock car and Indy car races. I mean, there's some, but not that many. But this is one of them because they ran there a couple of weeks ago. They had that doubleheader with a race on Saturday and a race on Sunday. So anyway, they ran it yesterday, and the winner was Sam Mayer, who won the first race of the year for a Ford in Xfinity. So I probably took some of the load off of that manufacturer, but it's like they pointed out on the race, and it's absolutely true. There's so many Chevrolets and Toyotas. There's only like four or five or six Fords. I couldn't name them all, so they're terribly outnumbered. But Sam Mayer was the winner. Second was Jesse Love, who was the pole sitter. Third, moving over from a Cup for a day, was Ross Chastain. Fourth, breaking his three-race winning streak, Connor Zilich was fourth. Fifth was Harrison Burton. Sixth, Carson Hostovar, who took over for, what's the guy's name? I know. See, this is the part that I don't like doing radio when I can't think of what I want to say. But he took over for Josh Williams, who got fired from the number 11 car at Colleague, who had underperformed and was kind of a loose cannon anyway. Anyway, they put Carson Hostovar in there because they said they wanted to see what the car would really do. And that's not a good endorsement when they pick you out and put somebody in to see what the car will really do. Hostovar was sixth. Seventh was Sheldon Creed. Eighth, Ryan Siege. Ninth was Carson Kvaabel. And tenth, Christian Eckes. As I said, Jeremy finished 22nd. And he is languishing in 20th in points, but I think he did solidify himself a little bit because, you know, last year he was almost knocked out of the top 20 in points, which he said on the air and told me personally. He said that is would have been devastating financially to finish 21st instead of 20th. So right now he's clinging to 20th. He's 162 points out of the playoffs. He made up about 11 points, but he is not going to make up enough in the next few races. He's got to win one. But the good news is there's some good tracks coming up for him. He's got Daytona, which he did win like 3 years ago, and he's a good road course racer, and next weekend's Watkins Glen, and a couple of weeks after that is they go to Portland, Oregon. So anyway, Jeremy's he's got 44-point lead over to 21st place guy, which is Anthony Alfredo, and he's only 2 points behind William Sawalich, who drives Joe Gibbs' car, and you know, he's gonna have probably a good starting spot every week. So Jeremy's a little better off. It'd be nice if he could slip up in the 19th place and give himself a little breathing room, and it would be terrific if he just won a race. So but the point standings right now in Xfinity, Connor Zilich, he's got 5 wins, so he's leading the standings. Second is Justin Allgaier. Third is Austin Hill, who was kicked out of the race yesterday and has got some severe penalties for the rest of the season, but he's still third in points. Fourth was Sam Mayer by virtue of his win yesterday. Jesse Love is fifth. Brandon Jones, sixth. Sammy Smith, seventh. And Nick Sanchez, eighth. Those guys have all won at least one race. Then 9th through 12th, without having won a race yet, Carson Kvaabel is 9th, 10th Sheldon Creed, 11th Taylor Gray, and 12th is Harrison Burton. And on the outside looking in, about 17 points, no, make that, 17 points out of the playoffs is Ryan Siege. So they will next go to, as I mentioned, Watkins Glen, where Jeremy has had some decent runs and he is good on a road course. And that will be at 3 p.m. next Saturday on the CW. So we got some other results here we will get to after we talk to our our Legends guest, who we've been talking to all morning, and Mike Hill will come on in 11:20 and tell us about the IMSA race coming up later on today. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back after a few messages. And beautiful Sunday, as far as I'm concerned. This is Start Your Engines on Fox Sports Spartanburg.
Visit our website at SpartanburgSportsRadio.com. Fox Sports Spartanburg, 98.3 FM, WSPG Spartanburg.
We are Fox Sports.
And here's what you need to know.
In the NFL, Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott told reporters a short time ago that receiver Khalil Shakir is week to week with a high ankle sprain. Baseball today, the Milwaukee Brewers placed right-hander Jacob Mizorowski on the 15-day injured list with a left tibia contusion. The Speedway Classic on Saturday evening at Tennessee's Bristol Motor Speedway between the Atlanta Braves and Cincinnati Reds was suspended in the first inning due to rain, with the Reds leading 1-0. They hope to resume today at 1 p.m. Eastern. Elsewhere Saturday night, three White Sox pitchers combined on a one-hit shutout in a 1-0 win over the Angels in Anaheim as the White Sox surpassed last season's win total on the 2nd of August. They've won 10-14 since the All-Star break. Cardinals won at San Diego 8-5, breaking the Padres' six-game winning streak. Diamondbacks broke a six-game losing streak with a 7-2 triumph over the Athletics. I'm Isaac.
A few years back, when we were ready to reopen the station, the water pipes burst, putting thousands of dollars of equipment in danger. That was one stressful evening, but one phone call to Thomas McGuire and PuroClean, the paramedics of property damage, and our stress disappeared. PuroClean rolled in, took charge, and rescued the station from severe water damage. Since then, I've used PuroClean at my house. You should do the same. Whether you're faced with fire and smoke damage, a flooding basement, or need carpet or upholstery cleaning, do what I do. And that's called 285-3530 for PuroClean.
How can you connect life and finances? As a financial advisor, that is exactly what Trent Lancaster guides his clients in doing. Based in Janie Montgomery Scott's Spartanburg office, Trent partners with them to discuss what their goals and priorities may be. Every client is different. That is why Trent is well-versed to have a discussion with you, whether it be investing, retirement planning, financial planning, estate planning, education funding, business planning, or charitable giving. Trent welcomes you to contact him. Additionally, Trent holds the accredited wealth management advisor designation. For clients, this means they are working with a top-tier advisor who can help them toward optimizing their financial strategies and minimizing market volatility. To learn more, call Trent today at 864-585-8282 or visit TrentLancaster.com. Janie Montgomery Scott, LLC, member FINRA, NYSE, and SIPC.
If you're a sports fan, you probably have some jerseys and signed stuff laying around. We did too. You got to do what we did and get your valuables framed up nice at the Art Lounge, where Brandy has over 20 years experience in framing sports memorabilia, jerseys, and even newspapers, diplomas, and so much more. The Art Lounge is the National Small Business of the Year, so be sure to check out their local art, pottery, and jewelry too at the Art Lounge, Spartanburg's go-to store for Berg apparel as well. The Art Lounge, 1410 Skyland Drive in Spartanburg.
South Carolina lawmakers are being pressured to change our liquor liability laws, not to protect people, but to boost insurance company profits. Right now, these companies charge high premiums, but pay out when victims need justice. If they get their way, they'll keep collecting while bars that overserve and put drunk drivers on the road walk away with no accountability. Tell your legislators, don't let insurance companies dodge responsibility while victims pay the price. Justice shouldn't take a back seat to corporate profits. Paid for by Carolina Law Group.
Ready to turn your backyard from a problem into an experience?
You say something about my lawn, Dotrieve?
It's time to make your backyard the go-to spot for your entire family. How about adding an in-ground pool in as little as 30 days? Call Little John Landscaping Pools. Ready to add sod, patios, fire pits, retaining walls? Call Little John Landscaping Pools. Never again be embarrassed to have your family and friends over to grill out, hang out, or veg out. Be proud of your backyard by calling Little John Landscaping Pools. 864-303-1368. That's 864-303-1368. 1368.
When your car needs to come down pit road, go where all the racing fans go. Bolton James Tire and Alignment. For three generations, Bolton James has been serving Spartanburg County by specializing in tires, alignments, brakes, and engine-related services. Located at 1491 Union Street, Bolton James has been family-owned and operated for 47 years. So when your car needs work, go where the racing fans go. Bolton James Tire and Alignment.
Hey, this is Ryan Delaney. For years, when my truck needs work or new tires, I always take it to Bolton James Tire and Alignment on Union Street.
For more than 60 years and over three generations, locally owned Holden's Marine Center on Highway 9 has been serving the boating needs of South Carolinians. Holden's large inventory features aluminum all-wheeled fishing boats with Suzuki motors, Duronautic and John boats, as well as tune-ups to keep you on the water all season long. Visit Holden's Marine Center today, Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5 at 1265 Boiling Springs Road, or call 864-585-1484. Holden's Marine Center, your marine expert since 1961.
Hub City Kickoff, presented by Cliff Cobert State Farm Insurance, kicks off our coverage of everything high school football in Spartanburg County every Friday at 3 p.m. Join Ryan Clary, Anthony Greer, and me, Joe Skinner, for a full look at the biggest games ahead, key matchups, and inside info on every high school football game you care about. Hub City Kickoff, Friday afternoons all season long from 3 to 4:30, only on Fox Sports Spartanburg 98.3 FM, SpartanburgSportsRadio.com, and the Fox Sports Spartanburg app.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
Live from our studios in Spartanburg, South Carolina, Fox Sports Spartanburg presents Start Your Engines. Always in the memory of our show founder, Greg Moore, here is your race team for today. Technical assistant, Lanny McKinney. Show producer, Ronnie Black. Author and National Motorsports Press Association Hall of Fame journalist, Deb Williams. Former NASCAR Cup crew chief, Mike Hill. Co-host, Joe Delaney. And with our special guests, here is your host for Start Your Engines, racing historian and author, Gary Allen Wood.
And welcome back to the second hour of Start Your Engines. Don't have to call my guest because he's sitting across from me and has been since about 9:30 this morning. Bill Rossi. Good morning, Bill, again. How are you?
Good morning, Perry. Doing good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good to have you here. Ronnie couldn't make it this morning, so you're serving double duty here, helping my... if you ever listen to this show, usually this is where my voice starts giving out. So I don't know how much longer we can do
you
this.
Do a lot of talking. So.
Well, I do. And I do a lot of talking anyway.
That's fine.
I won't do any when this show's over. Yeah. It's going to be sitting on the couch watching racing. And that goofy baseball game they tried to have last night.
Yeah, I didn't see much of that.
But can you imagine that? All the trouble they went to...
To put that in that stadium.
To put that in the... Well, you know, and that was funny because they're calling it a stadium.
Right, right.
Still a racetrack to me, but all the it was interesting to hear all the baseball players talking about God. And a lot of them call the banks Turns Hill.
Yeah, yeah.
But how you drive up on that hill and all that stuff. And I think I understood, and they had so much time to fill for only playing one inning. I think they got one inning in. And
rain.
It started raining again, and I don't know what it's doing up there today. They're going to try again at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
I guess it's a good thing they don't have an Indy race because Fox does Indy now.
Yeah.
And I don't know what they'd have figured something out.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's they've had a college football games in there, and I think they had a
Dirt
pro
track,
game,
yeah.
And now they tried baseball. Oh, but what I was going to say is I think I overheard in the background them say that they're giving that field, which of course is artificial, to East Tennessee State University in Johnson City, which is, you know, right around the corner.
College,
So, but what you been up to, Bill? I know I mentioned earlier about you walking around with the Hallman Moody shirt, trying to barter a deal, but...
Yeah.
The
name popped to me now. It's Sully, but I can't remember his last name.
Sullivan.
Sully Sullivan, that's him, yep.
Because I could see it on the side of Fred Lorenzen's car.
That's him, yep. That was his jacket that I ended up acquiring from a guy in North Carolina, yep.
Well, do you Sully Sullivan. You do a lot of that? I mean, collectibles, or is it just your dad's stuff?
No, when I can. I think, you know, the biggest thing for me is just saving history. You know, over the years, I've gone to different tracks. I've gone to different people, and most of this stuff went in the trash, you know. I mean, before people started collecting for money.
Incredible.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at how much stuff probably got thrown away of somebody's history, and when you talk to people, even like Daryl Derringer Jr., who just recently got his dad's trophies and things, you know, you don't even know where some of that stuff has gone. And, you know, some kids want it, some kids don't, you know. I mean, I think for me and my dad's connection, it's a little different because, you know, I didn't have my dad around all the time, being as he raced, and then, you know, disappearing when he did. So, you know, collecting some of his stuff is more personal to me. But the history of the sport, I mean, there's a lot of things, like I was telling you about the filing cabinet thing. I mean, who would want James Hilton's filing cabinet?
You.
That's right. But when I went through it and dug out information and things, you know, it was like, it was amazing.
Well, you were talking about canceled checks. I guess that's like a, you could have a whole museum just on autographs.
Yeah, it was insane. I mean, you know, I forgot back in the day when, you know, I had checks of his written in the 60s for $2 to here, there, and, you know, grocery stores and things. But then when you start looking at these checks that he, you know, wrote to Junior Johnson, Carroll Shelby, Richard Childers, Bobby Allison, Donnie Allison, Eddie Allison.
That they had to sign the back of.
Yeah, and I forgot that you know, you signed checks to deposit them.
Yeah.
You know, so Champion, all these different people. Mm-hmm. And Kurt Schilmerdine, there must have been 100 checks when Kurt, I didn't know Kurt worked for James during the 70s. You know, Bill
Champion. I didn't either.
Yeah, Champion and Schilmerdine. So I got all these checks. All these canceled checks with all their signatures on them. And, I mean, I probably got, like, 30 or 40 different big-name people, Home and Moody, you know, yeah. I mean, just everybody.
It's hard to imagine that it was that long ago, but it was. 2012 is when I did that thing at the Chapman Cultural Center on the history of auto racing in Spartanburg, and you came across with several items that I was real proud to have, and you – so cooperative, and actually everybody was, except David Pearson. Larry got me some of his stuff, but David wasn't too forthcoming, but I love David. He's still the greatest driver as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, you brought, I'm trying to remember what all you brought. You brought that wing off of a Daytona.
That was Buddy Baker wing, one of Cotton Owens' cars.
Yeah, and you brought a trophy from your dad that was a lug wrench, wasn't it?
No, so that was somebody. I think I had a trophy that was might have been the second place
point. Or a plaque or something.
I had plaques, and then I had I think I had one of the trophies that was like a cup, you know, like a bronze cup or whatever, for second place finish in 70 points, the points championship.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I got some of that stuff, you know, my dad's, and then like I said, you know, other people's stuff. I just, you know, I don't have like big ticket items, you know. I don't have a lot of big trophies and things, but I got some personal stuff, you know, jackets and like say plaques and paperwork and car parts and just whatever, you know. Like I said, the dyno from Hilton's,
yeah,
you know, I tried to get that for about 20 years and James would never let it go because he even used it one time when I was there, but you know, after he passed, you know, a lot of stuff was getting gone. And it was sitting out there on his pad, been there, you know, all these years, and they were getting ready to put it in a scrap bin the next day. Mm. So I just happened to stop by there, and these guys were out there working, and, you know, I was like, what are you going to do with that? And he said, it'll be in that scrap bin by morning. And I said, no, we're going to have to make some kind of deal. So I worked it out, and me and him the next day loaded it on rollback, on a trailer, and I took it home.
That I went up there when they were selling off a bunch of his stuff.
They gave it away.
Well, they didn't. I bought two pistons. I've got them as paperweights, I think I gave $10 a piece for them. But they had a lot of stuff that people were going through, and I'm glad. You know, I was in Miami. I was living in Miami. I lived down there for 15, 16 years, whatever it was. But that's when Bud Moore closed.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I was so sad. That mm-hmm. was a big chunk of my life was spent, you know, in both of the only two garages I knew, the one that was there on St. John and Pine Street that with the dirt floor, and then the one that burned down recently. But those shops I would go into all the time, and that's the only time. I guess I think I saw him at Talladega. I'm talking about your dad. Mm-hmm. I think I saw your dad at Talladega one time. He worked for DieGuard, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
In the mid-70s.
Yeah.
74, 75.
And that's when I was going mm-hmm. to races all the time, right. Especially Talladega.
Yeah.
And but I remember seeing him in Bud Moore's garage mm-hmm. back when Bud had the Mercuries, like mm-hmm. in 64.
Yeah.
64, 65, and 66 when he won Darlington.
Yep.
And your dad, I'd see him over. I don't think I ever even spoke to him, but I said, Mario Rossi.
Yeah.
That's a big name over there. And I remember that very well. And I've said this on the air many times. Forgive me, Jane, my girlfriend. But every time I ever went to the Beacon with a girl,
they
just knew that they were going to have to walk up the street to Mario Rossi's garage and see it. And I remember one time I walked up there, and I've told this on the air before, but I don't care. I'm going to tell it again. I walked up there one time. It was before the 1970 World 600. And there was a Dodge Daytona sitting there with gold sides and red top hood. And it was Fred Lorenzen's name on it.
Yep.
And I went,
they sold that to Fred.
I said, good Lord, Fred hadn't raced in three or four years. And I felt like I had a scoop. I said, you know, I need to call somebody at the Herald Journal
and
let them know that Fred Lorenzen's coming back because his car is in Spartanburg. Yeah. But I'll never forget that. And it was painted just the opposite of Bobby Allen's.
Yep.
Bobby, and he did pretty well in that race till he wrecked.
Yeah, it was number 28.
28.
Yeah.
It was. But the building's still there. When I took Stapleton, mm-hmm. Mitchell Stapleton, around to look at to do that television thing mm-hmm. on YouTube, we did peek in the window. And we could see some stuff in there. But you're keeping stuff in there, or what's the plans for the garage if you've got any?
Well, originally, you know, it came up for sale, and a friend of mine, him and his brother out of Illinois, a guy named Boris Benuti and Hank Benuti, bought the garage. The kind of plan was to put it back to 1970, you know, redo the interior back like it was, and then, I don't know, make like a mini museum kind of out of it. And I think they wanted to put some of their cars possibly in there, like they're from Illinois, so it's midways. So if they had any events to do in the South, the car was already here. And they bought Cotton Owens' cars, after he had passed, the number 6 David Pearson car from 66, and then the Polara that Cotton had, they own it and some other stuff. So the long story short, not 100% sure where we're going. It's been a while. The building's still there, just kind of waiting to see, you know, what my car is going to do, I guess, as to, you know, what we do with the building. So we'll see.
I every time I go down Reedville Road, I look over there.
Yep, it's still there. The trim shop's gone. They closed that trim shop.
Oh, did they?
It's that building's for sale now.
But I look over there every time, hoping that the door will be open and there'll be a Dodge sitting in there.
Yeah, really. There is a Dodge in there, but it's not an old Dodge. It's a newer Dodge.
Well, do you have anything you're restoring? You've been restoring.
Well, I've been restoring
one car for a long time, right?
The original Dick Brooks 71. Dodge Daytona
mm-hmm.
That was from 70 that ran with the 305. So I've been working
on
that car.
And led the Daytona 500.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Pete Hamilton got in the way.
Yeah, smacked him on the side. but I've been working on that about 11 years now, and I think it's we're down to the bodywork and paint. And, I've been just trying to figure out how to get that done. I can't really do bodywork, but I've been tempted to do it myself, but everybody keeps, you know, telling me no. So a good friend of mine from California, I think, is coming out in September.
Oh, good.
And we're going to at least start getting the bodywork done and hopefully shoot some paint by the
I'm 73 years old. You got to get this thing finished. I'd like to see it.
My dad's sisters are in their 80s, and they're all the same way, going, you need to finish this thing before we die.
Now, when we did that thing at the Chapman Center.
I had the Hilton car then.
Was that not the car that Prince got killed in?
It ended up being the car that James sold a car to Marty Robbins, and they found this article and some more pictures and things. So that car ended up being Marty's car at Daytona. I mean, at Charlotte in 70 that I think Bobby and Eddie Allison helped campaign it. They put the nose on it, the wing on it, and, you know, they took it to Charlotte. So that car now has been restored back to the Marty Robbins Daytona.
Oh, okay. Because mm-hmm. It was in pretty sad shape.
Yeah,
but
it was
you
in bad shape. Yeah, we
it was rusted
it
out and everything.
Yeah, yep. Had to push it up onto the side.
Yeah, but I was pushing a race car, and it. I always like pushing race cars.
Yeah, I pushed that thing around a lot. Yeah, it had more pushing miles on it in the last 5 years that I owned it, 10 years actually, than it had driving miles probably.
Yeah, I can't wait till you get that finished.
Yeah,
but
neither.
But the car that shows up on the internet all the time,
it
wasn't ever really a race car.
That car,
but it's beautiful.
It's a really well done car. It began out in California.
Dodge Daytona, Bobby Allison.
Yep, it was sold in 2003. Then it resold again a couple years ago. Well, it went through other changes, but it resold again a couple years ago, I think, at Meekum. And you know, I contacted Meekum several times about that car and one other car, and they basically told me that, you know, they sell the car based on what the owner. Doesn't matter what the history is.
Mm-hmm.
So I sent them documentation that it wasn't real. Whole nine yards. They didn't, you know, they just went ahead and did their thing. So, yeah. I mean, it even has a Holman Moody wheel on it. My dad, if he was in a grave, he'd probably roll over in his grave knowing somebody put a Holman Moody wheel on a Dodge car that he built, you know, if it was real. So.
You know, I did when I wrote the first book I wrote about the silent speedways, I can't remember the name of the magazine, but it comes out monthly, or it used to anyway. That's about 15 or 16 years ago now, in North Carolina by the
Duke Power.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got a guy gave me a copy of that with Brooks on the cover.
Well, I took that picture.
You took the picture.
I took the picture of, I'm glad you've seen it because I was getting ready.
Yeah,
you just saved me from explaining it. I got about five or six of them in an envelope somewhere. But yeah, it's a real good. Tight close up that I took of Dick Brooks, and that was the last dirt race at Columbia.
Cool.
That was the last.
Yeah, I was wondering where the picture was made.
Columbia, South Carolina, and Dick Brooks started outside Benny Parsons on the front row and finished third.
Wow.
And
a 70 Charger. They had taken the wing and nose off.
Yeah.
And converted it back.
But it was still a good looking car, red and gold with
same thing.
Number 22. Yeah. So, well. Yeah.
That's it, huh? We don't eat up 20 minutes.
Yeah, no, 21, actually. So, you did great. Bill, you got so much information. We could do this. And I told you, just like we're at the new way
that's
talking,
right,
you know, we're
around,
just sitting there having a couple of drinks and shooting a bull. That's all this is. And only I didn't have to call you up. And actually, last week, our next guest, I forgot to call him. I played his theme song and forgot to call Mike Hill like an idiot. So anyway,
well, don't forget today.
Well, I'm not. In fact, we're going to take a break right now, and I'm going to call him. And I'm glad you know. I'm glad you know Mike, and we can have a good conversation. So let's take a break and come back and get Mike Hill on the phone. You're listening to Start Your Engines on Fox Sports Spartanburg.
You already know Palmetto Spirits is the place to go for wine, fine bourbons, and home bar essentials. But Palmetto Spirits is also the perfect place to pick up your favorite local craft brews like RJ Rockers, crowd-pleasing Budweiser brands, and world-famous imports like Stella Artois, Modelo, and Corona. Whether you're in search of the ideal wine pairing or the ideal gift, Jim and the staff at Palmetto Spirits will get it in your hands. Palmetto Spirits, located at the corner of Reedville and Anderson Mill Roads.
Kick off the excitement at the all-new Escudé Nissan of Greer. Now open at 14125 East Wade Hampton Boulevard. Score big savings on six new models under $30,000. All backed by a lifetime powertrain warranty. Yes, lifetime. Plus, take advantage of weekly service specials like our synthetic blend oil change for just $28.88. Just mention you heard it here on Fox Sports. We're also hiring on-site, so stop by or shop online at escudenissan.com.
864-920-7636 for more details. Spartan Waste is putting trash in its place in Spartanburg County. Spartan Waste is your locally owned trash collection company, keeping your community clean. Do your part by visiting Spartan-Waste.com to make sure your trash is picked up on time every time. And when we say Spartan Waste is locally owned, we mean the owners, Mark Nelson and Mark Mullen, are on the job every day, keeping the Spartanburg community where they work and live clean for their families and yours. Keep it clean with Spartan Waste.
You are a very important person. You show up, put in the work, and bring your best to each and every day. It isn't always glamorous or easy, but it's worth it because you're building a life for yourself and those you love. That means a lot, and so do you. When you open an account at Park National Bank, you get more than you might expect. Your own personal banker and the VIP treatment you deserve. Park National Bank, where you mean more. Member FDIC.
Make Phillips and Long Fuel Chesney your source for propane in Spartanburg County. They offer propane for hot water heaters, cooking, and heat. They can fill your grill tank and get you ready for grilling season. Not only do they sell propane, but they sell a large variety of propane accessories such as grill tanks and other appliances that run on propane. If your propane tank is running low, call and they'll have it filled within one business day. Call them at 864-461-8511. That's Phillips and Long Fuel, located at 421 South Alabama Avenue in Chesney.
If it matters to Spartanburg,
listen to me.
We love
this. Is what matters.
Hear it here on Fox Sports Spartanburg. Spartanburg Viking football, local high school basketball, the USC Upstate Spartans, the Hub City Spartanburgers.
It's the Upstate's best sports lineup, flanked by the Spartanburg games you need to hear.
Hear all the games you need right here and streaming on the Fox Sports Spartanburg app.
Don't forget the website.
And at SpartanburgSportsRadio.com.
Image Printing is the only shop in the Upstate that prints signage, decals, banners, t-shirts, wide format printing, full color paper printing, and offers graphic design services all in-house. And now Image Printing is offering custom t-shirts with no minimum quantity. That's right. Image Printing now offers direct to garment printing, which means you can get your design printed on a t-shirt, whether you want one or 1,000. Visit Image Printing at 845 California Ave, across the street from the Spartanburg County Detention Center. Call 864-583-8848.
Just give me that countryside.
New York.
Good morning, Mike. How are things up on the Green Acres farm this morning?
Yeah, it's nice up here. Almost need a coat to go outside. It's refreshing after having all those hot days. Yeah,
I'm telling you.
How are you and my friend Bill doing?
He was just bad mouthing you because of some faulty stopwatches you sent him or something.
Thanks for my gift, buddy. Let me tell you, that's pretty cool. I appreciate that.
I'm happy to help you. I mean, if not for your father backing that Hemi out, me sitting over at the Beacon as a young kid and just getting mesmerized by this hot rod going down the road headed towards the airport,
mm-hmm.
I may have not ever got into cup racing, but it was, you know, it was one of those things. And Then you know, just being around Spartanburg and being around the race shops and your dad and B.V. Alvarez came in up there. And Clary's building's up there off Asheville Highway where Brooks was on one side. We went in that shop that night, and I was listening to them talk to Brooks about having lug nuts glued to a wheel and turning the studs down. Yeah. And that's just things that just stick to you, you know.
Yeah.
Things, your memory. Later on, you hear people, "Oh, the Woods brothers come up with that." I'm thinking, "Nah, y'all didn't. They didn't do that.
Yeah,
you know, That come out of Spartanburg.
Yep.
Yeah, that's my hometown down there in Spartanburg.
Yeah, that's cool.
I thought of you last night, Mike, when I was trying to watch that sorry excuse for a baseball game. I mean, it nothing to do with Bristol. It just rained the whole time. I know that was a big thrill for the people involved in that. But they said that somebody's attributed Darrell Waltrip saying that racing at Bristol was like flying jets in a basement. Well, I never heard that. I've heard it attributed to so many people, many different ways. But the first time I ever heard it, it was Dick Trickle. And I heard him say it because it was on the air, and he said it was like flying jet fighters in a gymnasium. So I don't know. It gets attributed to different people and different parts of the building and so on and so forth. But I just want to throw that in. That's got nothing to do with anything. But, Mike, let me move to something here that's I do need to know, and that's who are you picking since Deb and I are fighting over your driver?
Yeah, I don't know if Bill knows it or not, but, you know, Kyle Larson was probably the most unlike guy in the world, and I was picking him every week and won the trophy, and now everybody wants him. But, yeah,
I'll have to show you the trophy. I shelled out a whole $50, but it's a great-looking trophy, yeah. And we have our point standings, yeah. And he picks Larson every week, and I was so far in the hole, I started stealing him from him. So, anyway, who you picking, Mike?
Chase Briscoe.
Oh, wow.
Well, I think that's his sixth pole of the year. I mean, he is racking up some pole positions, and you might be right.
He's good. He's good, dear. Yeah, I'm going to take him.
All right,
you got my guy, unless you didn't get to take him.
No, Deb stole him from me. I couldn't steal him from you because he got stole before I had a chance.
So y'all can't double pick, huh?
No, you got to pick your own guy.
Dang.
Mike, I tried to find, and we got third from last IMSA race today for the hypercars, and Road America in Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin, and I could not find, as hard as I tried to look, I could not find the starting lineup. So where did the Wheeling Cadillac qualify?
Six.
Well, that's
six. And qualified six, yeah.
Mid-pack for those guys. I think there's only like 10 or 12 of them.
Yeah, it was the first Cadillac. Taylor's Cadillac got real close to them, but they're the fastest Cadillac up there. And I always will call it Elkhart Lake. They keep changing the names of these racetracks. For some reason, they have to change them. But it's always, you go back, it's Elkhart Lake.
I just don't like, corporate names for racetracks. I mean, I never did buy into Lowe's Motor Speedway. I called it Charlotte Motor Speedway the whole time. And I think they just named Atlanta Echo.
Oh, really?
Echo Park.
Oh, wow.
Automotive Speedway. And I said, no. To me, it'll always be the Atlanta International Raceway, but I haven't been there since they changed the configuration about 30 years ago. I still remember the old track. But so how did you do up at Elkhart Lake, as you call it, and that's what it is, in your racing days, Mike? I mean, that was a pretty successful place, or what do you think these boys will do today?
You know, it's a long track. It should be good for the V8s up there. You know, hopefully they'll do good. I haven't been keeping up with any of their rules changes or what they do. You know, every week they'll have what's called a BOP come out. They call them balance of performance, but I never called it that. It was always picking on us for rule that they was doing back when we was winning off. When we were winning all the championships and doing everything back in the day, they would come out with a BOP, you know, and they did the same thing when I was over in the cup racing. They would change the rules on us. But, you know, going back, Deb was talking about Junior Johnson's scrambled radios. Now, they didn't outlaw them as long as Junior had them. We had them from 1990 all the way till Junior, way past Junior retired, because I still had scrambled radios when I took the 27 car out of Ingle Hollow. Junior told me to get it out of there because he and Flossie was fixing to have a divorce. And so I took that whole race team to Statesville and kept it running, and we ran that car up until I left when David Blair bought it, and they were still scrambled then. But one of the reasons why Junior had them scrambled was, and it, this is funny, is Jeff Bodine was using the radio because he knew the crowd all had those headsets that they could listen to the drivers on.
Yeah.
You know, sort of like Ronnie was listening to Jeremy last week.
Right.
Well, Jeff Bodine would get on the radio and start selling T-shirts, telling everybody to go out to his souvenir trailer and buy T-shirts. And we couldn't carry on the conversation with him because he was too busy selling T-shirts and trinkets and trash on our on our pit radio. So Junior sent him off, and not only did he have them scramble, but he had them scramble. No one could Well, it was the same people that was scrambling the radios for the government up in Idaho or wherever the stuff was at, but all of our radios were scrambled, and it worked out pretty good later on because we could tell the driver stuff, and the driver could come out and say stuff like, you know, what Hill was saying last week over the radio, and no one at NASCAR could hear what was being said, and we couldn't get penalized for it.
Man, that's crazy.
But yeah, it cost more to get the radio scrambled than it did for the radio.
Good.
Back in those days. We had the big Motorola radio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any now I know you were a youth maybe during this period of time, but do you have any memories of Mario Rossi?
Oh yeah. Oh
well,
my gosh.
Share a couple.
You know, in Spartanburg, well, one of them was that night that I walked into Brooks's garage up on in Mr. Clary's buildings up there where the Army Navy store was
on Asheville Highway.
Yeah, on Asheville Highway.
Yeah, there was a long stretch of buildings out behind them. Prue Willingham did the sandblasting. He did all the racing wheels back in the day. But one night I was in there in Brooks's shop. J.D. Roberts, who was Brooks's crew chief, B.B. Alvarez, and Bill's daddy Mario was there, and they were all talking, and that's when they were talking. BV was explaining, and Mario was explaining how they was going to do the lug studs. But yeah, Mario Rossi, oh my gosh. Whenever he was at the racetrack, I'll never forget this. He was over the Diegard cars out in Daytona, and they had Donnie Allison was their number one driver, you know, and A.J. Foyt was driving the backup car.
Oh, and really? I didn't know he ever drove the Diegard car.
Yeah, he sure did. And so I was young in the garage then, and I was working for Cecil Gordon back in those days. And A.J. would go out and run, and he would pull Mario over to the side, and I could see him telling Mario, so this dang thing won't run. And I forgot the guy's name. Dave somebody was building engines for Mario back in the day when he was at Diegard. His last name's escaped me, but they would get him over there and they would talk, and Dave would go over and he would put a degree of timing in or take a jet out of AJ's car, and AJ would go out and run, and it just constant back over there, and he would tell Mario, this thing just won't run. And he would hop up on the workbench, and, you know, here I am a kid, and AJ would look over at me, and he says, thing won't run, you know. And he went out after they'd done the third adjustment on it. He come trailing oil into the garage and went right straight to the fence with it, come in there and hopped up on the workbench, and he says, they'll change it now.
What, did he go out there and clutch it or something?
He did. He clutched it. He hopped up on. He admitted it to me. He didn't admit it to Mario.
Wow.
Or Dave. But yeah, he said they'll change it now.
That's insane.
Yeah, Mario. I remember that just as clear as it yesterday. But yeah, Mario was like a hero, legend of mine down there in Spartanburg. Whenever you back a cup car out in front of the Beacon Drive-In and drive by me sitting there in the car eating, you know, it's still ingrained in me.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, this guy's driving a cup car. Yeah.
He'd drive it out to the airport and practice pit stops, right?
Yeah, that's what they did out there, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that wouldn't happen today.
Yeah, no, you'd be hard-pressed to get out of the parking lot into the road with it.
Oh, man.
Yeah. We did that up here in Engle Hollow, you know, with, Engle Hollow was nothing but Johnson's, and the road goes up and ends up there where Junior got caught tending the liquor still for his daddy. But we would have to, it was mandatory that we took, once the car got done, we got done setting it up, you had to crank it up and drive it up and make sure that everything drove, the steering and it shifted and everything else up Engle Hollow. Tim Brewer wrecked one time, and Doug Richard wrecked one time. Oh, wow. But Mike Hill never wrecked one.
Did that terminate their employment?
I was gonna say, yeah.
No, it didn't terminate the employment, but they were there all night fixing the wreck.
Oh, I bet.
Now, you're talking about Junior Johnson attending the liquor still, which everybody knows about that. But is that on property that you own now, or is it just nearby?
It's up the holler. I'm down. You know, the holler's pretty long. It's probably a couple of miles long. Go up Engle Holler Road. I own property on Engle Holler Road, you know, after you come off of Summers Road where the race shops were basically at on Summers Road. But Engle Holler Road splits this and goes up to the mountain up there. And Junior, you know, over the time, Junior showed me exactly where the spring that come out of the mountain up there that they made the liquor with, and where the liquor still was, and how he got caught. And he said if he hadn't got caught up in the fence, they would have never caught him that night. But the barbed wire, and he says it was dark, and I couldn't see exactly where the hole was in the fence to run, and the barbed wire caught his pants and pulled him down, and he said that's when they caught me.
Dang.
They never caught him driving. Everybody thinks they caught him driving, but they never caught him driving.
No, I knew he wasn't driving when he got caught, but I need a quick geography lesson. What's a holler? I know it's a hollow, but it's called a holler. We got one out here on East Main Street called Hobo Holler, right where you go take a right to go out to Broome High School out there at the railroad bridge. But what is a holler? Is it just like a valley or something?
Mountains. Yeah, exactly. It's like a valley. You got mountains on one side, you got mountains on the other side. And it's the lower part of it. Most of the time, that's where the creek or the stream run, and that's what runs off the mountain up there. The creek runs down between this mountain, little mountain range. It's brushy mountains. It's off the Smoky Mountains. It's the small mountainous chain coming off through the Wilkesboro. So if you've ever been to the racetrack, you can see them off to the left if you're going towards Wilkesboro. It's the mountains, and
Well, I've seen cars. Go ahead.
I live on the last little foothill of the Brushy Mountain chain of mountains there.
There's pictures of Junior Johnson. In fact, he flipped this car at Daytona on the sand, on the beach. But I think it's a 55 Pontiac, and it's sponsored by Brushy Mountain Motors. And I think Jimmy Pardue even had a car, because he's from North Wilkesboro. I think he had a Pontiac sponsored by Brushy Mountain Motors at one time.
Yeah, Brushy Mountain's a chain here in Wilkesboro. It's a little mountain chain, and when you're down in between the mountains, you're in the Engle Hollow.
All right. Well, we got a lot of racing. Not a lot of racing. We got two races and a baseball game at a racetrack to watch this afternoon. So I'm gonna let you go so I can. Did you watch any of the Hungarian Grand Prix?
No, I did not.
Well, I just checked it, and Charles Leclerc won it, so I guess that's accurate. That would be a little change from with a Ferrari winning a race for I don't know how many they've won this year, because the McLarens have been so dominant, but they didn't win today. So anyway, Mike,
I did notice something this week. I read where Lewis Hamilton come out and said, "It's not the car, it's me. I can't drive anymore."
He said,
and
he said they need a new driver.
Yeah, I thought, well, that's you know, you don't ever hear a driver say, "It's me."
Well, it seems like every time I turn around, he's owning something. I mean, I know he bought into the Denver Broncos, and I heard something the other day, something else he bought. I don't know. Maybe it was a soccer team, but he's, you know. Maybe it is time, because he had always said, or he said he'd always wanted to drive a Ferrari. So now he's driving a Ferrari, and he's not doing too good. So, he was bad-mouthing himself. In fact, I was going to bring that up when I touched on some news tidbits here in a second. So we'll let you go, Mike, and I will be probably texting with you during the afternoon.
All right, sir. You and Bill have a good time for the rest of the show. I enjoy listening to y'all guys. It's well, good to hear a legend like Bill Rossi on the radio. Well,
I appreciate
yep.
that.
When Ronnie didn't come in, it was really, because we were going to be the three of us in here, and Ronnie had a little thing he had to take care of. So, been a real pleasure having him in here. I might see if I can hire him as a permanent co-host. And
yeah, real quick, the first Mount Airy festival that we went to,
yep.
I get out of the car, me and my wife get out of the car, and we start walking, and I look in front of me, and I tell my wife, I said, "Holy cow, that looks just like Mario Rossi."
Yeah, I think
and he turned. You remember that?
Yeah.
Bill?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I told my wife, I said, "That guy is. There's no denying whose boy this is. That's Mario Rossi's boy." Yeah.
Well.
Sure enough.
Yep.
Yeah.
We if you see Mario, let me know. That
yeah,
would be a
all
scoop.
Know. Yeah, that would definitely be a big scoop.
So. All right, Mike, take it easy, buddy. We'll talk
Enjoy
to you
it,
later
Mike.
On.
All right, guys.
Take
see
care.
You. All right, thank you, Mike Hill. Great guy.
Yeah, super guy.
Yep. Let's take a break, our last break, and come back and wrap this thing up. You're listening to Start Your Engines on Fox Sports Spartanburg.
Jerry Seinfeld is back.
We stream everything now. We don't watch anything. We stream it. Wandering around your workplace trying to recruit new viewers into whatever stupid show you like. Jerry, you gotta watch this show.
Okay.
I'll check it out.
Okay, but the first four seasons are not good.
Jerry Seinfeld, live in Spartanburg with a new show. Friday, September 19th, Spartanburg Memorial Auditorium. Reserve seats on sale Friday at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com.
Kick off the excitement at the all-new Escudé Nissan of Greer. Now open at 14125 East Wade Hampton Boulevard. Score big savings on six new models under 30 grand. All backed by a lifetime powertrain warranty. Yes, lifetime. Plus, take advantage of weekly service specials like our synthetic blend oil change for just $28.88. Just mention you heard it here on Fox Sports. We're also hiring on-site, so stop by or shop online at EscadéNissan.com.
864-920-7636 for more details.
Kick off the excitement at the all-new Escudé Nissan of Greer. Now open at 14125 East Wade Hampton Boulevard. Score big savings on six new models under 30 grand. All backed by a lifetime powertrain warranty. Yes, lifetime. Plus, take advantage of weekly service specials like our synthetic blend oil change for just $28.88. Just mention you heard it here on Fox Sports. We're also hiring on-site, so stop by or shop online at EscadéNissan.com.
864-920-7636 for more details.
Spartanburg has been known as the hub city for decades due to our proximity to rail lines and interstate highways. Upstate Logistics has been part of the hub city transportation scene for over a decade. Upstate Logistics provides businesses with warehousing and transportation services, including inbound and outbound rail shipments. And more importantly, we support Spartanburg. Be it high school and college sports or important community projects, Upstate Logistics wants to help move Spartanburg forward. Upstate Logistics, keeping your business and Spartanburg moving forward. To find out more, visit upstatelogistics.com.
How can you connect life and finances? As a financial advisor, that is exactly what Trent Lancaster guides his clients in doing. Based in Janie Montgomery Scott's Spartanburg office, Trent partners with them to discuss what their goals and priorities may be. Every client is different. That is why Trent is well-versed to have a discussion with you, whether it be investing, retirement planning, financial planning, estate planning, education funding, business planning, or charitable giving. Trent welcomes you to contact him. Additionally, Trent holds the accredited wealth management advisor designation. For clients, this means they are working with a top-tier advisor who can help them toward optimizing their financial strategies and minimizing market volatility. To learn more, call Trent today at 864-585-8282 or visit TrentLancaster.com. Janie Montgomery Scott, LLC, member FINRA, NYSE, and SIPC.
Spartanburg's radio home for Gamecock football.
Oh, yeah.
Fox Sports Spartanburg, 98.3 FM, WSBG Spartanburg.
McDonald's is hiring right now. Get more than just a job. Start building your future today. Working at McDonald's, you'll get paid time off, healthcare benefits, free employee meals, competitive wages, and a flexible schedule. Apply today at McDonald's.com/made. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. McDonald's and McDonald's independently owned and operated franchisees are equal opportunity employers committed to a diverse and inclusive workforce. Most McDonald's restaurants are operated by franchisees who are independent employers and set their own employment policies and practices for their employees. The benefits described here are available at McDonald's-owned restaurants and participating franchisees.
Welcome back to the final segment of Start Your Engines. By my clock over here, we got 10 minutes and 25 seconds to kill.
Man. I don't know if we can do it.
Yeah, well, we do it every week. I take this opportunity to thank Lanny McKinney, who is the man behind the scenes. He maintains the Budmore Engineering website. He maintains the Start Your Engines website. He does our podcast, which he will have out there. Usually before I even get home, I'm getting a message that the podcast is available. So, cool. You know, you can listen to this.
Oh, cool.
And I think this is like a, I'm not sure how, this is about 180th show,
wow.
Something like that.
Nice.
It's getting on up there. And so that will be, anyway, Lanny, we appreciate everything you do for us, and keep doing it. We need you. We need you badly. So let me cover some of this stuff here that I killed all these trees for last night. The Cup race was at Indianapolis Motor Speedway last week, and as we discussed with Deb, Bubba Wallace was the winner. He kissed the bricks. Kyle Larson was second. Denny Hamlin third. Boy, I was glad Denny. I don't care much for Denny Hamlin. I didn't need to see him win, but I will hand this to him. He started 39th.
Yeah.
And finished third, so he had to pass them all.
Good day.
Fourth was Ryan Preece in a real good move, and his car owner and boss was right behind him. Brad Keselowski was fifth. Sixth with Todd Gilliland. Seventh, Ryan Blaney. Eighth, Christopher Bell. Ninth, Alex Bowman. And tenth was Carson Hocevar. I'm looking down the line here, see if anything. Yeah, Ross Chastain crashed early and finished dead last. So Zane Smith and Joey Logano crashed. So that was but it was a good race. It was a close race, and glad to see Bubba Wallace win it. The point standings for Cup. Denny Hamlin has won four races, so he's in first place. Second is Kyle Larson with three wins. Christopher Bell's got three wins, and he is in third, and also with three wins, believe it or not, is Shane Van Giesbergen is in fourth place. And the rest of these guys all have one win, and there's a bunch of them. Fifth is Chase Elliott. Sixth, William Byron. Seventh, Ryan Blaney. Eighth, Chase Briscoe. Ninth, Bubba Wallace, who is off the bubble now. Tenth is Joey Logano. 11th, Ross Chastain. 12th, Austin Cindric. And 13th, Josh Berry. There's only three drivers in the top 16 that go to the playoffs. There's only three drivers that haven't won a race yet. And the 14th is Tyler Reddick. 15th, Alex Bowman. And 16th, Chris Buescher. On the outside looking in is Ryan Preece and Kyle Busch. And this has been a long time since Kyle Busch won a race.
Really.
And you know he loved to make the playoffs.
Sure.
The lineup for today at Iowa, Chase Briscoe, who Mike chose just now, his pick to win, is on the pole, his sixth of the year. He's finishing pretty well. So this might be his week to win. Outside of him is William Byron. The second row is Kyle Larson and Austin Cindric. Third row is Brad Keselowski and Ryan Blaney. Fourth row is Carson Hocevar and Chase Elliott. And fifth row is A.J. Allmendinger and Justin Haley. Looking down the line here, some other notables. Logano's 14th. Bubba Wallace is 15th. Van Giesbergen is 11th. I'm sorry, on the 11th row, he's 21st. Chastain is way back there in 28th. So, anyway, that's coming up today at Iowa, and it's called the Iowa Corn. I don't have a number. I don't know how many miles it is or kilometers. I just got Iowa Corn written down here. But it's at 3:30 on USA. So they're back to NBC. I don't know who the announcer is going to be. I hate to say something like this, but I just hope they don't have that New Zealander. Somebody told me one time, don't you think NASCAR needs an international flavor? And I went, no.
Not that.
They don't need an international, you know. Send him over to do the IMSA race.
IMSA race,
Or Indy. But anyway, the trucks ran this week. And I'm sorry, they did not run this week. They won't run again until next week when they will, on Friday at 5 o'clock, on FS1, they will run the Mission 176 at Watkins Glen. Trucks at the Glen, Xfinity at the Glen, Cup at the Glen. So all the three NASCAR series are at the Glen next week. Corey Heim is leading the points in the trucks, the top 10, and that's what they take to the playoffs. Chandler Smith is second. Corey's got 5 wins. Chandler Smith and Lane Riggs have 2 each. Fourth through seventh is Daniel Hemric, Tyler Ankrum, Rajah Caruth, and Stuart Friesen, who I don't think is going to be back this year. I think Christopher Bell is driving that truck for him. He is mending from a horrible crash. If you haven't seen it, it's out there on YouTube, and it was he's lucky to get out of it at all. Eighth is Grant Infinger, ninth Ty Majeski, and tenth is Caden Honeycutt. Like I said, they will run at 5 o'clock next Friday afternoon. They also ran an ARCA race at Iowa, and it was won by Butterball Queen, or Brendan Queen, who was really racking up. Brent Cruz was second. Third was Lawless Allen. Fourth, Isabella Robusto. And fifth was LeVar Scott. I don't have the ARCA point standings here, and I'm not sure why, but I can tell you Brendan Queen, Butterball, is he's leading the points. So their next race will be next Friday, and they will also be at the Glen. So this is the fourth type race that's going to be there, and it precedes the truck race on Friday, and it'll be at 2 o'clock. The General Tire 100 on FS2. Indy cars are off this week, thank goodness, because they got to show a baseball game. But last week, they ran the Java House Grand Prix at Monterey, and Alex Palou, believe it or not, won his 8th race, so it's no big shocker there. Everybody knows I pulled for Santino Ferrucci. He hurt his wrist a few weeks ago, and 1 minute he was going to race, the next minute he wasn't, then he was, then he wasn't, but he did race. But I guess his wrist was still hurting him. He did not do very well and finished 22nd out of 28 cars. So the points for Indy, Alex Palou is running away with it. Pete Pato Award is second, Scott Dixon third, Kyle Kirkwood fourth, and Christian Lundgaard is fifth. Formula One, they just finished it up, and I've got it here on my phone. With Roger Leclerc winning it for Ferrari, which is a pleasant change. Second was Oscar Piastri and McLaren. Third was Lando Norris and the other McLaren. Fourth was George Russell and the Mercedes. And tenth was Fernando Alonso. And we will have the point standings next week for you. They did run last week when I'm sitting here saying there was no Grand Prix last week while it was going on, so that's on me. That was really stupid. And they ran at Spa-Francorchamps in Belgium, the Belgium Grand Prix, and Oscar Piastri won it. So we won't do the point standing since I don't have the results, and they ran a race this morning. So today they will run at IMSA cars are running at Road America in Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin, and that will be at 2 p.m. on Peacock. And Mike just told us that the Whelen Cadillac that we pull for here is starting 6th. So good luck to them. The TV for today, as I said, Formula One has just ended, so forget that. The IMSA WeatherTech sports cars run at Road America at 2 o'clock, and that is on Peacock. And about the same, once it's about over, at 3:30, the Cup race from Iowa comes on, and it is on USA since NBC's got it back. The next week, I told you on Fridays, the ARCA and the truck race at Watkins Glen. The Xfinity race next week will be on Saturday, of course, at 3 o'clock, and the Cup race next week will be at 2 o'clock at Watkins Glen, and IndyCar will be at Portland at 3. So I got it all done.
Yeah. Got it all in.
With 1:06 to spare. So,
got it in.
Yep. Bill, I appreciate you coming in.
Enjoyed
it was a lot of fun.
Always, yeah. Always enjoyed.
Been wanting to have you on, so you got a little extra time. Anything going on that you want to promote? You want to sell something, buy something? say hi to somebody?
No, I ain't got nothing to sell.
All right. Well, now you're a big. You've experienced big-time show business.
That's right, yeah.
And you know how the radio The radio business works, and as you can see, I kind of make it up as I go along.
Hey, I've enjoyed it. Believe me, you got to put all this information out there, so you know everybody's got to be well informed on what's going on.
Well, I enjoy doing it. It's like I said, the pay's not too good, but it's just it is fun. I enjoy doing it. I didn't think I'd like going to Sunday mornings, but I had to or not have a show, so it's turned out well.
Yeah, it seems like
I used to do it on Saturday and go home and cut the grass. Now I go home and sit on the couch.
Watch TV.
Yep, a whole lot better. Well, that's going to do it for this week. We'll be back next week. Don't have a guest yet, but we'll get a good one from somewhere. Natalie, not coming to Applebee's this week. We'll be back sometime. The rest of you, keep it between the fences.
You've been listening to Start Your Engines. Tune in each Saturday morning at 10 during the season for the very latest in auto racing news, interviews, and guests from around the sport. To find out more or order Perry Allen Wood's books on motorsports, visit McFarlandBooks.com. Start Your Engines has been a presentation of Fox Sports Spartanburg, LLC. All rights reserved. The home for Bump and Run with Tyler Sugart. Fox Sports Spartanburg, 98.3 FM. WSBG Spartanburg. We are.